Good morning, everyone. How many of you are aware of federally qualified rural health centers? Okay. And then how many of you are aware of the chronic disease self-management program sponsored by Stanford? Any of you? Okay. In my talk, I'm going to talk about the convergence of these two entities. I'm going to share with you a quality improvement tool called the Assessment of Primary Care Resources and Supports. And the purpose of this tool is to help primary care centers be able to integrate self-management into their system of care, into their practice of patient care. It's a tool that allows the primary care centers to drill down in understanding the supports that are needed for integrating self-management, and it's a self-assessment tool that can be used for quality improvement. And this is a tool that was developed by a Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Diabetes Initiative, and a number of us grantees in that came together to develop this tool over a period of a few years. This is a tool that can be used by multidisciplinary patient care teams, teams that are interested in improving the quality of their care. It provides an objective assessment, and in this case, an objective assessment of their efforts at improving integrating self-management. The tool articulates actions, and actually articulates actions on a range, and I'll share that range with you in the next couple of slides, a range of actions that can be taken. We all recognize that quality improvement is not black and white. There's a gradation in the quality that we implement and a gradation in terms of improving that quality. And this is a tool that allows primary care centers to measure where they are on that scale in terms of the improvements that they want to make. The tool has two components. One is a patient support component. If you will, this is looking at it at the micro level or looking at the relationship between the patient and the provider. And there are a number of characteristics of service delivery that guide that interaction between the patient and the provider. And then the other component is organizational support, and that's taking a macro or large, a system-wide look at the characteristics that are needed in order to support the integration of self-management. The patient support characteristics, you'll see that list there, and it goes from assessment to goal setting to problem solving. It addresses the emotional issues. Almost everyone with a chronic disease has emotional issues related to their chronic disease. It addresses issues of patient involvement, their support, and their linking to community resources. On the other side, for the organizational support, the kinds of things that it identifies in the assessment are the continuity of care, coordination, ongoing quality improvement, documentation, the team approach, education and training. So this is a list of the characteristics that are assessed at the organizational support level. Here's a snapshot of what the tool looks like. Any of you aware of the ACIC tool? You'll probably declare your age by wearing of that. it's laid out just like that tool, except that we don't know how to count to 11, we only count to 10. It's much less confusing for our little pea brains on a scale of 1 to 10 as opposed to that other instrument that for some strange reason went from 1 to 11. And you'll see that there are four quality of care levels, and then in those brackets in red, there's a numbering scale, and the idea is for people to assess themselves using those numbers. And of course, those numbers fall within certain quality levels. We'll zoom in here and look at goal setting. And this shows you how the actions are articulated at different levels. so that at the D level, which is the lowest level, goal setting is simply not done. And then as you move up on the scale, then goal setting is done, but it's done primarily by the healthcare team. And then you move up one more level, and that is where goal setting is done collaboratively with all patients, to the highest level of quality, having to do that goals are systematically reassessed and discussed, and they're systematically documented. So you can see that trail of actions from doing nothing to doing it in the best way possible, and it allows the users to be able to assess themselves based on that kind of a scale. I've already explained the difference in the different levels, the categories from A to D, and then the numbering system within that. I'm going to share with you how this tool has been used in one rural primary care center in West Virginia. We're working actually with four rural health centers in this quality improvement process. I'm just going to share with you the experience of one of those. The context is that we have been disseminating the chronic disease self-management program in West Virginia for a number of years. We've held 19 leader trainings. Over 160 people have been trained as leaders, and we've done over 130 of the CDSMP courses or workshops over the last few years in West Virginia. So there's a high degree of awareness of CDSMP and a number of partners. It's not just the rural primary care centers, but the United Mine Workers Health and Retirement Fund, the Partnership of African American Churches, a number of community groups. So we have a wide range of partners for implementing CDSMP in the state. But it's exciting for us that a number of rural primary care centers have been involved in sponsoring CDSMP. It's often done right there at the center, and in this case, it's in the conference room that's being used for the weekly CDSMP sessions. We've had success with, in this particular case, this one clinic has a regular cycle of CDSMP courses. One cycle ends, and there's a week or two gap, and then they start another cycle of courses. But before we started integrating self-management, there was the clinic and what the clinicians did, and then there was CDSMP and self-management over here, and it was like two silo programs, and we tried to get referrals going across. But we all recognized that there needed to be more in that patient-provider interaction to support integrating self-management. So in this particular clinic, they've had success with incorporating self-management into medical group visits. And in fact, they have 12 different medical group visits that happen during the course of the month on a variety of topics. There's some medical group visits for patients with diabetes, some with heart disease, pain management. So there's a wide range of medical group visit settings, and in all of those, self-management has been integrated into the education portion of the medical group visits. Another key factor is that senior management is committed. We've had clinics who there's been an individual champion, but without senior management being supportive of it, it doesn't go anywhere. And what this particular tool, the PCRS, does, it helps them to standardize within their clinic the process of self-management goal setting. And then another motivation for them was they needed quality improvement baseline for rural quality health grants, for medical home applications, and so this was another useful tool for helping them in that process. The self-management tool is done based on teams. Teams work together to assess themselves. The URL for the website is improveselfmanagement.org. It will take you right there to the website. This is a snapshot of the home page of the website. And if you notice down here at the bottom, you can click for a PDF version. You can get into the online assessment tool as a guest, so you can play with it and see how it's used as an online tool. And then you can also use it to initiate a team assessment. And as you go through these two learning tools, you'll see that there's a coordinator that's designated within the team, and that coordinator then, through emails, is in contact with other people of the team, getting them to fill in the assessment. And then the reports are automatically generated by team. Here's a snapshot of the scoring results, so that in the area of patient support, individual assessment, there were 13 people who responded. And as you can see here, the high score was 10, so somebody said that they were doing individual assessment at the highest level of quality, and then the lowest score, somebody else said, and that among those 13 respondents, said that there were almost nothing going on in terms of patient support. And so similar for self-management education, 13 respondents. The highest score was a 9, the lowest score was a 4. Goal setting, the highest score was a 9, the lowest score was a 3, and then you see the means here in the team. So as people do the assessment online, then when they complete the assessment, then when the team completes the assessment, this total is generated, and it comes to the coordinator. A number of things that we learned. One is that understanding self-management support varies widely. You could see that range from somebody scored at a 10 and somebody scored it at a 2, and similar with the other with the other variables. A key was that not everyone had basic self-management skills and understanding of the cell concept. That's part of that. CDSMP is done out here, but the clinic does their thing, and there's not always a link between the two. So we implemented, as part of the quality improvement process, we implemented a plan for training staff in self-management skills. We did this over four lunch sessions over 4 weeks. The senior management was engaged in patient scheduling so that people could take the full hour for their lunch period. And then in CDSMP style, we spaced out the sessions one a week. And part of integrating the concepts of CDSMP here is that at the end of every training, people were asked to set an action plan for the week. When they came back the next week, they reported on their action plan. So that part of CDSMP was simulated, and indeed was one of the keys in them helping to understand the self-management. And then, of course, the training, we practiced a number of learning and teaching techniques on integrating self-management. We worked on creating a positive environment, posters and flyers, inviting people to attend. They got a certificate of completion that went into their personnel file. And then, as a result of this, then the exciting part in the payoff is in the increased percent of patients that had documented self-management goals. The primary care center asked us to not share their data on the improvement in this case because they're still working on it. But indeed, there was a substantial increase with documentation of self-management goals in the electronic medical records. And then there was ongoing documentation of self-management system change, and improvements in process and outcome data. Blood pressures went down, A1Cs went down. The medical director, this testimonial from the medical director on her enthusiasm for this tool and what it did to help them create a positive environment for change, which is very difficult in rural primary care centers because of the pressures that they're under. Her testimonial of how this kind of a tool helped them move forward. Some helpful resources, improveselfmanagement.org. That's where you can go to the online version of the self-management tool. And then the Diabetes Initiative, the Robert Wood Johnson Diabetes Initiative website, and then our website as well for self-management online. It keeps wanting to click. Let me move up here. Okay. And then there's my contact information. And I have to declare that I'm llanero solitario. I have no relationships at all. I'm a lonely man.
Okay. Do you have any questions for Dr. Crespo?
Yeah, one of those differences in perception is the perception that patients have self-management goals because the provider told them to have one. Mm-hmm. And then when it's documented by the team, the nurses on the team, the medical assistant who's on the team, they included receptionists on the team, and they say, no, you think the patient has one, but it doesn't. It's that documentation and that range in responses that creates the discussion. So actually the scores themselves have very little value in of themselves. It's the discussion that they generate. And then the ability for them then to monitor how their actions have changed by assessing themselves on that scale.
So this process looks at actual medical records to see, or electronic medical records to see if things were documented in the person's chart.
Yes. And the clinics have to do chart audits on themselves on a regular basis. So this gave them a subject for chart auditing that had meaning to whole team rather than just one or two individuals.
Yeah, I had wondered about the assessment because until you said, no, it's done online, because mm-hmm. I thought, whoa, would somebody be willing to say that they didn't do some of that? But if it's online, I think you're a little more open to thinking
right.
that.
Yeah. And we never published an individual's yeah. response. All we did was just show the team score as I gave you that snapshot, that zoom-in snapshot of part of the scoring process. So, mm-hmm. again, the issue was not how Sue scored as opposed to Max, but the fact that as a team they had this range, and so it generated the discussion.
And if you have more questions, I think that you can have questions for anybody, and perhaps we can just all come down here. So I saw another question, I think, over there. Because we've got about 8 minutes.
Question for Richard. If I teach PBSM in our clinic through staff and so forth, but if I have to depend on someone coming in and teaching it, I have an issue with cultural competency when I deal with this different technical
thing. Wait, in terms of who is leading the CDSP workshop itself?
Yeah.
We train local people to lead the CDSP workshop, so it's peers. Understand what questions to ask the doctor, just to kind of help guide
so they have more confidence as well when they see a doctor. And then during, and then after the doctor visit, the health coach would also check in with the doctor to make sure what was discussed during the doctor's visit, and then after the doctor visit, then talk with the patient, and then to ensure that they understood everything that the doctor said, and then to have a summary for them to take home to ensure that they knew what they were supposed to do. And then following up after that, there was a call to ensure that, to check how they were doing with that. And then at the same time, there's a dietitian visit that comes 2 weeks after the physician visits. So that is a second process. So we want to ensure that they get a full range of education related to diabetes care. And then a follow-up visit after the dietitian visit. So each time they had a physician visit, it happened.
I have a question for Winston as well. Winston, you mentioned that the community health worker model did not work, and you also said that the Asian, the members of the Asian community had more, they held a higher regard for the doctors. So was that why the community health worker model did not work, or were there other factors?
I'm sure there's a range of factors, but in this case, immigrants, I guess the traditional concept for Chinese or important doctors in China or recruited China is different. So this may be less of a case or more American Chinese. In this case, maybe more. But certainly there's other factors and other things we didn't discuss in our study also. I have a medical student who's working on how patients use traditional Chinese medicine. So that's also going on. Clearly, there are community components. We're just trying to figure that out.
Were they increasing what?
No, sessions were.
wondering, but we do a monthly. Would this program be just as effective on a monthly basis, or what do you?